The 2024 Ten Commandments Project Speech Challenge is a great way to teach children and youth between 7 and 17 to lead a life that honors God. Just have them write a 3 to 5 minute speech on the topic, Why Are the Ten Commandments Important? Then use your cell phone or other means to record them reading the speech and submit it by June 30th. Find out all the details and upload your recording at afr.net/10commandments. That's afr.net/10commandments.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Okay, welcome everybody to the program, and though I'm not working part-time here anymore, although it seems like it's been gone the last 2 out of the 3 weeks, but it's good to be back in the saddle, as they say. I'm Tim Wildman on American Family Radio. The program is Today's Issues with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And Brother Fred Jackson.
Hi there, Tim. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be back. What did I miss?
Anything happened while you were gone.
What did I miss that Joe Biden didn't miss? I shouldn't do that.
Now, you were in D.C. for the Spiritual Heritage Tour.
Yeah, this time last week we were in Colonial. We were in Jamestown, Yorktown, and then we went to Colonial Williamsburg. We had that tour, and then a lot of folks went with us. On Wednesday, we bust up to D.C., our nation's capital, and all the monuments and sites and places, including George Washington's Mount Vernon. Did you guys see that they made a discovery there?
I saw that. Was it like a bunch of bottles of wine or something?
They don't know exactly the contents yet, but they discovered, you were thinking, after all these years, they're just now finding this? But evidently, I was reading the story, at Mount Vernon, a cellar underneath the mansion, the iconic mansion. We've all seen that, and many of you have been there. But they were doing excavations or digging. They were trying to make sure that the foundation of the mansion was not going to be compromised, or, you know, the house wasn't going to sink or fall in. Anyway, and that's when they discovered these bottles, 20-something bottles, I think, so far, preserved from, you know, the 1700s, and they think there may be like cherries in there or the ferment. I don't know. Yeah. But they, it sounds like to me that they were meant to be used, and then something happened. I don't know what happened exactly. But, yeah.
So it was like a wine cellar.
Can you imagine that? Oh, those bottles have been sitting there for over 200 and whatever it is, 50 years or whatever it is. It's a pretty amazing discovery.
And then it's a good thing that didn't happen down south, because the next words you'd hear would be, hey, Bubba, watch this. And then someone try to drink out of one of those bottles.
They're still trying to – they're still doing tests to discover what the contents of the bottles are, but they think it may be – I read cherries. I don't know if that means cherry wine or what that means. Cherries, anyway, just the bottles themselves.
Oh, yeah.
That'll be, you know, put in the archives, I guess. And I don't know where they'll exhibit those. Maybe they're at Mount Vernon themselves. I guess I would think so. All right. Fred, are you still teaching Sunday school?
Not at the moment.
Not recently?
Nope.
But I do. I teach Sunday school.
Okay, what was your lesson?
At our church, Tim.
What was your lesson? Well, I haven't been. I'll self-confess right here.
I am teaching.
Because you and I spend a lot of time together anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Why do I want another hour on Sunday?
Hey, you know, I get the same thing from my wife. I hear you all week long.
Why don't I hear you on Sunday? Yeah. What was your lesson on yesterday?
I'm teaching a series this year on truth and error.
Yeah.
And so about to embark on this from the rest of the year, teaching about false Christ, false prophets, false teachers. And the New Testament is filled with warnings against Christians, warnings to Christians about being careful of deception. So
what's one or two warning signs to look for?
Well, I mentioned yesterday out of Revelation chapter 2 in the letter to the church at Thyatira, there is a warning to the church. First, Jesus starts off by telling the people of the church all the good things they're doing, That's always good. Then the verse, one of the verses changes, and it says, "But I have this against you." Hmm. I always thought you don't want to hear that from Jesus, okay? But I have this against you, and he criticizes them for tolerating the woman named Jezebel, whether that's a real name or a symbolic name given to this woman, who claims to be a prophetess, Jesus says, but is teaching the people of the church to engage in sexual immorality as well as idolatry. And one of the things that we will continue to see is that sexual immorality often goes hand in hand with false teaching and false teachers. They want, you know, there's when we get to false teachers, there's a kind of a modern example of a false teacher. And this is an individual who forbids the members of this cult to be married. And then he is the one who gets to have relations with the women, not even their husbands. And so sexual immorality often goes
rock star.
Well, there is kind of a cult-like atmosphere around some of the rock stars where people kind of set
their brains. Are you talking about deceiving people with a version of a religion? Are you talking about just the paganism that we see out in the open among pop culture?
No, this would be related to the false teachings of the cult or the false religion.
They seem like they may be Christian, but they're not, and here are the signs.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so anyway, it's we will look at all sorts of passages, talk about doctrines of demons, all those kinds of references.
You know, what I see growing, Fred, is in our culture is atheism, mm-hmm. seems to me.
Yes.
If atheism can grow. In other words, just in atheism and agnosticism, not necessarily one and the same, but the practical implications of such spreading is causing a decline in the respect for Christianity.
No question about it. George Barna, who I regard as probably the premier researcher in the Christian realm today, his numbers that he keeps coming up with back what you're saying. And the concern that's growing also inside the evangelical community about the growing disbelief in absolute truth, mm-hmm. that when they're being asked, young people who would identify themselves as evangelicals, they're asked about, well, is Jesus the only way of salvation? They may say, well, I believe it, but I think, you know, there are other ways. Because I believe in a God.
This is my truth, your truth.
Yes, yeah, that's what it is. It's part I think of the culture that's out there, that is afraid to say. I was listening to David Jeremiah's program on AFR this morning. It's part of the culture that's out there now, and it's been seeping into the Christian community. Well, I don't want to be confrontational. And if I say that Jesus is the only way of salvation, that might upset people. So I'm going to avoid that. Right. You know, where we can agree, God is a good God. God does good things. All right, so I can feel comfortable with that. But when I say Jesus is the only way of salvation, and the way I say, you know, the way we say that is because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That absolute, those absolute statements now are being questioned even inside the evangelical community.
You know, the expression I hear used, even among some Christians, is this, related to what you're talking about, which is that, well, that's my truth, and that may not necessarily be your truth. No, you may say, that's my experience. That may not be your experience, but the word truth is not subject to feelings or opinion.
Yes.
And you may not know. You may be deceived. You may not have the absolute truth or the truth. Ed, but there's only one truth, okay? Something's true or it's not. Is that by definition?
Yeah, because what these people are actually saying, they may not put it into words like this, but when someone says, well, this is my truth and that, and you have your truth,
right,
what they're actually saying is that everyone's truth is what everyone makes it or experiences it for themselves, but that's a statement of absolute truth. How do you know that's true? How do you know that everyone experiences truth?
Do you have
themselves?
A bunch of Frank Turek?
Yeah. Well, that's where I got it from, Frank Turek. Yeah, yeah. That's what he does. Yeah. He'll peel back what people are saying and get to what they really believe. And
what I always like to hear Frank say is when he says he's on a college campus talking to students, and is Frank on tomorrow? I don't know. But anyway, he'll say, if Christianity were true, would you believe it?
That's a perfect question.
Yeah.
Because people will answer it and reveal whether their issue with Christianity is a heart issue or a head issue. Mm-hmm. If it's a head issue, they will say, well, if Christianity was true, yes, I would believe it because my struggle with Christianity is just an intellectual one. I don't understand how someone can rise from the dead. But a person who says, no, if Christianity were true, no, I wouldn't become a Christian, they're revealing that they don't want it to be true. Mm-hmm. It's a heart issue. They refuse to believe.
Yeah, I think a lot of what the reasons people don't believe Christianity, they don't want somebody telling them how to live their lives.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
In other words, we as humans, we don't want to be told what to do, how to live. And yet when you submit yourself to Christ, you become a slave,
right,
to his, a willing slave,
yes,
to his moral code, his commandments, his, you know, his requirements for,
yeah,
for standards, all those things. So you know, who wants to, everybody wants to be their own person,
yeah,
you know, make their own decisions and without having to you know, run it through the filter of the Bible, for
right,
example. So anyway, I was just curious. We'll see there. We had a little
discussion,
little Sunday, yeah, school lesson, yeah, of our own there. Except it's a Monday school lesson.
Yes.
All right, Fred. First story.
The weather. Let's talk about the weather.
Talk about the weather.
You know, I go for a walk fairly early in the morning, and when it's 79 degrees at 4:30 or 5 in the morning, you know it's going to be a bad day. The whole kind of southeastern section of the country right now is just boiling.
Right.
It really
very
is.
Hot.
That's why I was shocked. Starting on Friday, and it was confirmed this morning. Do you know what's going on in Montana today? Butte, Montana. Wintry mix. It's snowing in Butte, Montana today. You talk about a...
Are you telling a whopper, Fred?
I am not.
I'm blaming Canada.
No. The Weather Channel's got this.
I'm looking you up. I'm verifying your information here. Butte, how you spell Butte?
B-U-T-T-E.
I had stereo there from both of you. What is it now?
B-U-T-T-E.
B-U.
Butte. It's a Butte.
Butte, Montana. Okay. Butte, Montana, click. 34 winter storm warning. The Canadian wasn't lying, Ed.
On June 17th.
Yes.
Those poor people.
I tell you what, the global warming people can't catch a break.
Right.
Huh? They just can't catch a break. Al Gore right now is somewhere, you know, in a home, you know, going, I tried to make it so, but it just wouldn't happen. Winter storm warning.
It's an inconvenient truth, isn't it?
Duly noted. Heavy snow expected in... It is... 1 to 4 inches. And what is today?
It's June 17th.
Is this
more than halfway through June?
Okay. Is back to our original point. Is this in the book of Revelation?
No.
Snowing in June?
No. Huh? It's not. No.
In North America? No, it's not. Okay.
My wife posted a meme this morning on Facebook, and it says, I opened my back door this morning. It was so hot, I thought I was checking on my cornbread. Because of the, you open, well, the oven and the hot air comes. That was,
listen, guys, I know I'm in the minority, but I love it.
The heat,
the hotter the better.
Oh, I don't go that far. Well, but it's better than freezing.
Maybe that's an overstatement. Yeah. But I hate cold weather with a passion. As you guys know, I've formed a hate group.
Yes. And I joined it this past year.
I appreciate your dues.
Yeah.
I formed a hate group against cold weather, and Ed's joining me, and I'll be talking more about how you can
how you too can join.
But anyway, summertime is here. I'm glad to see it. Yeah, it gets hot, but it's better than cold. It's the way I look at it.
So you won't be going to Butte, Montana anytime soon.
I'm not going to Butte. I rebuke Butte right now. All right, Fred. So seriously, you got a winter storm in Montana.
I've not heard of that. Now, where I used to come from in Nova Scotia, maybe around June 2nd, you might get a little bit of snow in the Highlands. But that was unusual. But a snowstorm
right
in Butte, Montana right on June the 17th, it's just hard to believe.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead, blame Canada. I mean,
yeah, you know that cold weather's coming.
Yeah, you know where it came from. We all know where it came from.
Alaska.
Yeah. Probably of Siberia. Probably Putin sent it over the globe.
There you go. There you go. All right. Well, listen, a week from this coming Thursday is the first of two debates between
America waits.
President Joe Biden and former President Trump. I tell you what, I think that will be must-see TV.
I'm watching it.
I really do. That's going to be a show.
That's June the 27th?
June the 27th.
All right.
CNN is in control of this, and there's not going to be any audience. There's going to be the CNN anchors and the two candidates, and that's it. Now, one of the rules that CNN has come out with just in the last day or so, they are going to cut the microphones. So, you know, people, these candidates will be asked questions, but when they respond, they'll cut the microphone, and that is aimed at ensuring that one candidate doesn't talk over the other. Tammy Bruce is one of the analysts on Fox, and she had a few things to say about that this morning. Cut number four.
Because Joe Biden apparently needs a nanny. The president of the United States should be able to have a debate and negotiate with someone without that person being tied up in a straitjacket so that Joey can get his, you know, next sentence out. This is nuts. But this is part of the test. Donald Trump doesn't need that. Donald Trump's not afraid of what people say to him. He's going to speak. Right. And, you know, if you're afraid of your fellow American who is loved by tens of millions of Americans, who is a former president, and you're afraid of him, how are you dealing with Putin and Kim and Fat Boy in North Korea and the Chinese? How are now you've got Russia is going to visit, you know, North Korea. What is this? As long as the American people know, Donald Trump will do a good job. I don't know what the Biden team expects, but he needs a nanny. He thinks he's going to skate through this. I think the American people know that this is a charade and can't and are looking forward to Trump's policy positions.
What does she mean by charade?
I guess the entire debate is, I guess Tammy Bruce is calling the entire debate a charade. A way of protecting Joe Biden.
If I was protecting Joe Biden, I wouldn't debate at all.
Well, that's the problem.
Trump
got himself into when he said, "I'll debate Joe Biden anytime, anywhere." So CNN, you remember back about a month or so ago, CNN says, "Okay, we'll go for the debate." Biden's team said, "We'll be there."
I don't think Trump ever expected Biden to accept.
I'm honestly surprised that Biden did accept. I thought he would take, now this is when we were talking about the possibility of convictions in these trials for Donald Trump. I thought that President Biden would say, I'm not debating someone who's a convicted felon. As a cover-up to protect Joe Biden, who I would be shocked if he goes the whole 90 minutes and without wandering off the stage, as he does at other public gatherings. I'm sure he's going to be.
He's going to be seated.
Yes, but I'm saying
if he's seated, he gets up and starts wandering backstage, and they have to go find him behind the curtain.
You don't think that's possible?
That's going to be
That to me is
that's
possible.
That's reality TV at its best right there. What did you say? That's possible?
I think it's possible that he is, over the last couple of months, he has just wandered off in the middle of something, some public gathering. He just.
Okay, may I warn you?
Yeah.
The advantage of low expectations.
Yeah.
Often serves whoever it is. When somebody tells you somebody's going to do terrible, 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 and then they don't do terrible, 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 they only do terrible.
Right.
Then people go, well, he didn't fall apart. He didn't wander off stage
so badly.
It wasn't as bad as people told me it was going to be. Right. That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it was still bad.
Right.
But it wasn't as bad as they told me it was going to be. Therefore, it was good.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
That's a real thing.
But now, here I was reading about the rules of the debate. Again, CNN hosting. So you're going to have no audience. That benefits Biden in the sense that Trump plays to an audience.
Right.
Right. For good or bad. I mean, he's a master.
Right.
In front of an audience. Trump is. A live audience, I'm talking about. So I don't know if that'll hurt Trump and benefit Biden. I'm just saying Trump would benefit from an audience, I think, for better or for worse. By that, I mean whether they're for or against him. Do you think that?
Well, my greatest concern is who's hosting this debate. CNN hates Donald Trump.
They do.
They love his ratings, though. They get some big ratings.
Well, but I think there's going to be some gotcha questions. I think they're going to be very tender with Joe Biden, and I think it's their opportunity, CNN, to try to make Donald Trump look as bad as possible, and I think they will do that. What was it, Candy Crowley. Crowley? Remember what she did?
Was that back in 2016?
That was Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. The
Clinton camp was given the questions ahead in advance.
Was that?
We found out after the debate.
From Donna Brazile. No, that was she. That was during a Democrat debate.
I think you there was something about Donna Brazile too.
But she. I think that was a Democrat debate that she tipped off Hillary Clinton on what the questions would be over Bernie Sanders. I think that's what that was, if I remember correctly. But okay, so back to the setting. Mm. So the debate is on CNN, and you're going to have two chairs and a moderator. And you're gonna the candidates cannot bring. Go ahead. You were gonna say.
Yeah, you're right. Donna Brazile, however Brazile, you pronounce, yeah. It did get leaked the questions to the Hillary Clinton campaign. I think Candy Crowley, she contradicted Trump, wound up being wrong.
That's what it was.
She told him no, Mr. Trump, no, you're wrong about this. And then he wound up being right. She wound up being wrong. Yes. I'm pretty sure that was the Candy Crowley incident.
So the setting is more stoic, I guess you could say. It's more maybe in a true debate form. If everything's going to be even handed, and you know the thing about CNN, Fred, we'll watch and see, because if they're not even handed. Of course, sometimes even-handed is how you look at is your candidate or not. But I think that'll be on full display as well. But you're right. Trump issued the challenge. I'll debate him anytime, anywhere, any place. I don't think Trump expected Biden to accept a debate, at least outside the formal debates that were maybe scheduled post post conventions.
Mm-hmm.
But he did. So Biden is running a risk here, so to speak. But if he survives it, then he'll claim that as a victory. I think it's going to be potentially, and this is a serious moment in our country's history. I don't mean this is a comedy show, but it could be very funny. It could be an SNL type skit, because they're going to cut off the mics, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, are they going to cut off the mics based on somebody finishing an answer, or based on a time limit? I think if a time limit is the only way to be fair.
I think it's a time limit.
Okay.
And when you get to the time limit, your mic is cut off.
Okay.
And you cannot interrupt the other person speaking.
I personally like that format, in the sense that shut down the mic. We'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
This June marks 2 years since the overturn of Roe v. Wade. But did you know that the number of abortions actually increased the following year? In 2023, the amount of abortions reached its highest level since 2012. Preborn continues to stand strong for women in crisis. Preborn is a ministry of compassion that showers women and babies with God's love, providing free ultrasounds to mothers to introduce them to the precious life growing inside of them. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation will also help to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. So please, give your best gift. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening. You want to send us an email. The address, if you want to send us an email, the address is comments@AFR.net, comments@AFR.net. If you want to watch this show live, how can they do that, Ed?
If you want to watch the live video stream,
who wouldn't want
this
to?
Program, who wouldn't want to watch three middle-aged to older guys do a radio program?
That's what I'm talking about.
You can go. There are several options. You can go to Facebook and search for Today's Issues. You can go to YouTube and search for Today's Issues Live. You can go to our own streaming service, stream.afa.net.
What's that again?
Stream.afa.net. Or you can go to X, formerly known as Twitter, and search for American Family Radio. Any of those options will get you the live video stream of this program.
You know what? I think 5 years from now, we're going to be saying X, formerly known as Twitter.
Yes.
Because I don't know who ever came up with that name, Twitter, but that's just perfect.
Yes.
It's just rolls off your tongue, and you have tweets.
Yes.
And Elon Musk, who I greatly admire for buying Twitter, right. He changed the name to X. And you just don't, nobody sends out X's.
Right.
I guess unless you're George Strait. All my X's live in Texas. Get that song.
Yeah, I get it.
By the way, George Strait, the country superstar, he was at Kyle Field in College Station, Texas over the weekend. Set an attendance record for a concert, for one concert.
Was it over
111,000?
That's amazing, you know? I've heard of big crowds for football games.
Now, it is a one-time event, but still, 111,000. I saw a video footage from somebody attending last night. You got 111,000 people singing Amarillo by Morning.
Yes.
It was pretty cool. It was pretty cool to watch. But anyway, I don't know who will break that.
Can you imagine having wanting to go to get some nachos from the snack bar?
Forget that.
A line?
Huh? Forget
110,000 people?
Yeah, forget that. But anyway, that was last, I think it was.
What do you mean you're out of hot dogs?
Saturday night. Saturday night in College Station, Texas. Hey, what were we talking about before the break? Oh, I was going to ask you guys what you got for Father's Day.
I got a, you guys are going to laugh. I got a book. It's called The Children of Ash and Elm. I've been wanting it. It's about the Vikings. Historical book. What'd you laugh for?
Well, they were a good team, especially the people, you know, back in the 70s.
Not the Minnesota Vikings.
Oh.
The Viking Vikings.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Ah. So the real Vikings.
Yes, the real
came
Vikings.
Came over from Norway and
They were Danes and other Scandinavians.
Did they really? So they came over and landed in Fred's homeland, right?
The belief is that maybe Leif Erikson landed in maybe Newfoundland.
Nope. No.
No?
I must correct you.
Okay.
All right. Cape Breton, Nova Scotia.
Okay.
There is a monument to that, and monuments don't lie.
Are there really?
Did you see that?
Is there really a monument?
He got really upset.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh. Newfoundland, Nova Scotia, what's the difference?
Yeah.
You know, Cape Breton.
Yeah. You're about to know the difference because you're going to be reading about it. Right.
Hey, and the Father's Day card I got from my grandkids, very funny. It's had two dinosaurs eating pizza, and it said two Papa-roni. Papa's with
I got card. It. Papa-roni. Papa-roni.
So that was yeah.
That's nice.
Fred?
No, I had a one. We stretched it into a Father's Day weekend.
You got two daughters, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Two daughters. One lives in South Carolina, and another one lives close to home here. And we just stretched the weekend. We did some fun stuff. One of my favorite restaurants.
Did you pay for it or did?
Oh, no.
Okay,
no,
good. Well,
it was a free
good.
Weekend for Dad.
Okay, good.
All right.
Good.
There's a great restaurant in town here. I'll give it a plug. Bulldog
right.
Burger.
Right.
We love going there.
Right.
And
very good food.
Got a nice pair of shoes. Then we visited my oldest daughter and wife are really getting into organic foods. And there's a really
I'm sorry to hear that, Fred. I really okay. Yes. You think this is good. Okay, all right, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we kind of like good stuff. And there's a really good organic food store in Oxford, Mississippi.
Right.
So we visited there, had a good time there, and then
you mean to get vegetables and stuff to go?
Yeah, this is
to take home with you.
Breads.
You're not talking about going to eat organic.
No, food. No. This is good. No, my wife and my oldest daughter Val are just very cautious now. They're label readers,
right?
Because there's so much junk in food.
Yeah,
and so we're just getting very careful about this stuff.
I think Walker, my son, I think he has a motto that if something doesn't ruin after 3 days, you shouldn't be eating. If it sits on the counter
and doesn't go bad,
it's supposed to go bad, and
right.
It doesn't go bad.
Like ice cream that doesn't melt.
Yeah, you probably don't need to be eating that because no telling what's in it.
Okay, I know we're going to get to some serious news, but I do want to talk about a trend. Fred just mentioned it here.
All right,
okay. A trend that's a little bit disturbing to me. Now, this comes. Fred mentioned he got shoes. Uh-huh. Father's Day. The shoes I'm wearing right now, I got from my grandkids for Christmas.
Okay.
I am starting to notice a trend. Most guys, when I was growing up, even until maybe 2-3 years ago, most guys had 2 or 3 pairs of shoes. That's it.
Uh-huh.
You have black shoes.
Right.
You have brown shoes.
Right.
Maybe a pair of sneakers or two.
Yeah.
We are all becoming shoe aficionados. Mm-hmm. I mean, guys with 7, 8, 9, 10 pair of shoes.
Yeah.
This is becoming.
You think that's wrong?
It's my wife's buying shoes for me. Different types
trending,
of shoes.
It's trending feminine.
It's just listen.
Saying.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
I now have 7, 8 pairs of different shoes, and sometimes I'd pull them out to go with my outfit, Jim.
Oh, wow.
What
man.
I'm wearing these are blue shoes.
We're being
shoes
sucked in to this, like.
I have a blue shirt on. What is becoming of
I don't know. Me and you, we're both wearing blue and donning gray pants.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, I got you, I got about five or six pair myself.
Yeah.
But you know, if you don't wear them out, you don't want to chunk them.
No.
What I'm saying? So.
Anyway, I don't know what's happening.
I don't know.
At least our voices aren't going up, but still.
I think it's like the Canadian vortex or something coming into play. So you got the. You're going to ask me what I got for Father's Day?
Yes. Would you?
Well, my daughter
this
just.
This is why you asked.
My daughter, who's the oldest, Riley, she brought me. I requested this. I wanted a framed picture for my family vacation 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
So she brought me a framed picture. Every year for our family vacation, we take a picture, like many of you
right.
do. And so I get them all framed.
Yeah.
So I'm running out of space in my office and where to put them.
Right.
Exactly. But I still like having them.
Yeah.
So anyway, got that. And Walker gave me a shirt at lunch yesterday.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. He gave me a shirt. Although, I'm going to have to take it back and exchange it.
Okay.
It's too small.
Too small?
Yeah, I put it on. Allison goes, you're going to take that one back. you're coming out. You're on, you know.
Wives, this is how God keeps men humble. Wives, just telling it like it is.
Yeah, she says, yeah, no, that's too small. And it's not the shirt's fault.
It's not missized.
Right. It's, you got to go up, you're going to take that back, bump it up a size. So yeah. They'll take it back. You said, then, you know, the tag's still. That's why she said before I tried it on, she said, don't take that tag
off.
Take
the tag off till you try it
on. No, don't take the tag. She said, I was about to rip the tag off and then try it on.
Yeah.
No, don't do that. And she was right. And then let's see. Wesley gave me a gift card to a sporting goods store.
Yeah.
So looking forward to using that. I might even buy myself some new golf balls.
There you go.
I usually buy used golf balls.
Yeah.
Because I'm a used golf ball.
I've seen you. You have a bag in your office.
Yeah, type of golfer.
Right.
I'm not coming now.
How much does a brand new golf ball cost?
Well, I pay 50 cents.
Oh, okay.
I buy the used ones. Your people who actually play well,
right?
they'll buy your $4 or $5 balls.
Wow.
Yeah.
You want to lose one of those?
No, it's like these Titleist Pro B.
Yeah.
Ones. I mean, they'll run you $5. I'm not playing with a $5 golf ball. Right. Because there's something called water.
Yes.
Out there that'll suck your ball.
And that's into it. And it's
and
gone.
And also, if my ball goes out of bounds, and I'm not one to look for it for a long time.
Yeah.
But if you give me a $5 golf ball, I'm going to spend some time looking for that.
Right.
You know, in the woods. It's going to be annoying to the other golfers. So anyway, glad everybody had a wonderful Father's Day, and just wanted to see what you guys got for a gift.
Yep.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening. To AFR, what's the next story, Fred?
The Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yeah.
I think some of our audience would probably know what that is.
Yeah, they're in Montgomery, Alabama. Their mission is to point out to the world where hate groups exist, right?
They're a self-appointed judge of hate groups.
Right.
Now, they become serious because federal government agencies are using them.
Yes.
They're quoting.
As a source.
And the leftist media use them as a source. So they basically, if an organization says we believe in what the Bible says about homosexuality, you're a hate group.
Right.
You know, that's that, and that gets
published. It goes unchallenged. By the way, they've lost so much credibility. If they even had any to begin with, because so many, they call Ben Carson a hate group.
Yes.
So, put him on the list.
Dr. Ben Carson.
They had to remove him.
Yeah.
Well, basically, if you have a biblical point of view on morality,
right,
you become a hate group. Anyway, the news that came out in the last few days is they have, I think they've had about 300 employees there at their head office in Montgomery, and they have sent out layoff notices to about 60 of them.
Oh, so, sorry to hear that.
Lends speculation to, are they in financial trouble? However, they're a nonprofit group officially, correct?
Yes.
And it has been noted they have an awful lot of money in the bank.
Almost $1 billion.
That was reported about 5 years ago, and a lot of it they said was offshores.
Right.
So what happens with this group? Again, they're based out of Montgomery, Alabama. Their history is one that goes back to the civil rights in the 60s. So when they started, they may have, I don't know all the history or who was behind it, but they may have had a legitimate cause, okay?
They did.
It is a legitimate cause in the 60s to be concerned about the treatment of African Americans in America.
They were a legal firm and sued.
Yeah. But what happened is they had to change missions because they couldn't find enough hate out there. You know what I'm saying? So they had to go searching for it. So they will do a map of America, the Southern Poverty Law Center will, and they'll include, because I've seen it, they'll include places that sell Confederate memorabilia.
Yeah, right.
If they a place may sell, because I looked at it. One time I looked at their hate group list map, and it was a place like 20 minutes from where we live up the road. And I was going, I never heard of this place. A business can be a hate group? and they were going, they clicked on it, and they go, they sell Confederate flags,
right,
as part of a Civil War history,
right,
place, and that was classified as, that's a scary place to live, you
right.
know that anyway, so they now they're laying off staff because they can't find enough hate to address.
Well,
I think they should probably celebrate that. Don't you think they should issue a press release saying we are glad to announce today that we're laying off half our staff or whatever it is because we can't find enough hate in America?
They can't issue a press release like that, Tim, because every year they release a press release, they issue a press release that says the opposite, that hate is going through the roof.
And it always does.
Yes.
In other words, they're going to say that regardless.
Right.
Because they got to have an appeal to people who donate to them, and if they say hate's on the decline,
yes,
then people might not give as much money. Is
right.
that true?
Right. And with almost $1 billion in their endowment fund, you would think they would be spending that money
right.
to combat the hate that's going through the roof.
Yes.
You know, playing, you know, making commercials and airing them during the Super Bowl and spending that yeah. money to go after.
Place, so yeah. much hate. Anyway, so ridiculous. I'm glad they, you know, those people are unemployed. So the was a quarter of their staff they're having to lay off?
60 of the about 300.
They get most of their money from Hollywood, by the way, actors and actresses, and some from businesses who, you know, coerce them, strong arm them, say, if you don't give us money, we're going to say you're, what do you call that? Shakedown?
Mm-hmm.
Remember what Jesse Jackson used to do to a lot of companies?
Extortion, I think.
Yeah, well, yeah. I guess the slang is shakedown, where they tell them, okay, if you don't give us money, we're going to say you're not with us.
Yeah, in 2017, George Clooney and his wife gave $1 million to the SPLC.
Yeah.
To combat the burgeoning, growing hatred yeah. in America.
So ridiculous. All right, next story, Fred.
Well, speaking of hate, you know, it's over 8 months now since the Hamas massacre in southern Israel. The good news, in the last week or so, another 4 hostages were rescued by the Israeli army. But you know what?
I'm shocked any are still alive, Fred. The hostages.
Yes. Well, and there's a lot of reports that probably many of the hostages, quotations being held, are deceased. But it was good news, a little bit of good news last week. But you know, one of the most troubling things is that we're still seeing anti-Israel, pro-Hamas demonstrations in this country. And there was another horrible demonstration of this on a New York subway last week, where basically a bunch of pro-Hamas people got on a subway train and asked people to identify themselves if they're Zionists. And they said, this is where you guys get off. I want to play you a little bit of this. Cut number 8.
Tonight, this video shows a frightening moment on a New York City subway car when protesters demanded riders raise their hands if they're Zionists.
Raise your hands if you're a Zionist!
Raise your hands if you're a Zionist!
This is your chance to get out!
This is your chance to get out!
Okay, no Zionists, we're good.
The train held at Union Square for a police inspection. Officers in riot gear seen on the crowded platform. Protesters clashing with police. They had just come from a rally where the flags of terror groups Hamas and Hezbollah were waved. Another saying, long live October 7th.
I wonder if the Southern Poverty Law Center will, you know, these groups that are flying terrorist flags, celebrating terrorism, I call that hatred.
Yeah.
What are they doing about that? I tell you, it's just horrible to see. You know, it's really interesting. The governor of New York, Kathy Hochul, who's a Democrat, is now considering a face mask ban on subways because these protesters, you think, you know, they're out there and they're proud of the stand that they're taking, but they don't want the American public to see their faces.
So they're ashamed of, yeah, they don't want to be uncovered.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, it's
going.
You're
proud of your movement. Take your mask off.
Yes.
Well, they're not going to, just like the BLM protesters, just like the Antifa protesters the 4 years ago.
Well, KKK, remember they hid behind hoods.
They hid behind hoods. This is to avoid prosecution when you commit crimes. I'm looking at a picture right now from this story. This is from the Jerusalem Post. They're all wearing the...
This happened in New York City?
This in New York City. This kind of bandanas, or sometimes it's head covering with something that covers the face. This is so they can commit crimes and get away with it. And I've said for several years now, your protesting is fine. It's legal if you do it peaceably, like the Constitution allows, but you should not be allowed to protest with your face covered. Because what happens is they use that anonymity to commit crimes and get away with it. And that's why these people are cowards. You get on a train like this and hold a bunch of people hostage. You know what would happen if their faces were uncovered. Everyone would have their cell phones out.
Right.
And then if you assault someone, the police will find you.
Yeah.
But these people are cowards. They don't really have the convictions to do these kind of things. Some of these people might have jobs. I don't know. They seem to have an awful lot of time during the middle of the day to go out and quote-unquote protest. I think they're professionals. Agitators are what they're doing. But some of these people, you commit crimes and your face is exposed and published in the New York Post, for example, you might lose your job because you get fired for committing acts of felony crime. So this happens all over the country. We'd probably be having even worse protests on college campuses, except all the troublemakers have gone home for the summer.
You know, I was mentioning, it's over 8 months now since this massacre occurred in southern Israel. You know, if these kinds of actions were taking place against another group of people.
Right. Take your pick.
Take your pick. However, what's troubling is because the target is Jewish people, they are encouraged, these protesters, these pro-Hamas people, because they're not facing any consequences.
Right.
Remember, what was it? Was it New York University or Harvard, one of those where there were break-ins into the office, glass was smashed, doors, they took over offices. The arrests were made, and within 30 minutes, they were out, misdemeanor charges.
Yeah.
Nothing.
But hadn't that kind of quailed? I'm talking about the protests.
Well, the universities are out right now.
They're out for the summer.
They're out for the summer. But I don't think there's going to be any let up when it came back in the fall.
Well, it'd be interesting to see what happens at the Democrat National Convention in Chicago.
Yes.
Because, the chances of them having a lot of protesters, because they hate Biden, because Biden sides with Israel.
Yes.
It's left-on-left violence.
Which is interesting. The last time, I think, the Democratic National Convention was in Chicago was in 1968, if I'm not mistaken. And there was anti-war violence.
I remember that, yeah.
That was on the nightly news and may very well have contributed to Richard Nixon's big win in 1968 against Hubert Humphrey. But that was in Chicago. And I fully expect there to be anti-Israel protests at the DNC convention in Chicago in August.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Fred, we got about 3 minutes.
Yes. Governor Newsom in California proudly announced that $20 minimum wage for fast food restaurants.
That was a couple months ago, wasn't it?
What a wonderful thing that was going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just lit a fire under the economy in California, hasn't it?
Yeah, tell that to the thousands of fast food workers that were laid off in the last few weeks. There's a story this morning just to give you some details. So $20 minimum wage now. In-N-Out Burgers, have you guys heard of?
Oh, yeah, sure. In-N-Out. I've been to one.
All right. They've just announced their burger combo has burger, fries, and a beverage. Now costs more than $10.
For one person?
Yes.
For one combo?
One combo, $10. And with tax, because the sales tax in L.A. County is 9.5%.
Wow.
On top of that. So you're not walking out of there almost $12 now for a burger.
Fast food.
fries, and a Coke.
So well, one person.
For one person. So a family, mom and dad, couple of kids.
$50
$50
Listen, last week we reported on the fact that, or maybe it was the week before, a famous Mexican food chain that originated in California, Ventura Beach or someplace like that, was well known for its fish tacos.
Yes.
Spread all through the state. They're closing down 48
stores. Yeah, who could have seen this one coming?
Yeah.
you mandate $20 an hour minimum wage, then you have the owners of the businesses have to, by necessity, jack up their prices.
And then people stop going.
And then the businesses close down.
Yeah.
So in the name of helping people make more money by forcing the business to pay a certain amount, in this case, an extraordinary amount, then
the people make no money.
Right. And then they go on the government dole.
Yeah.
It's just, listen, somebody once said liberalism is a mental disorder.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's proven every day.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a short time out right here. Steve Paisley Jordahl will be joining us. We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.